Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erios original.
I don't care about aliens. I don't want to know whether God really exists. I don't care what happens after we die. I want to know if Dolly Parton has a buzz cut and is covered with tattoos.
Hi, it's Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. It's Pride Month. Happy Pride. We're doing these special Pride episodes to show you how proud we are. And today, we are so proud to have for our Pride episode, Jackie Beat. Jackie Beat is a good friend of mine. A good friend of mine for, 30 plus years. She's a writer. She is a drag queen. She is amazing for so many reasons. So many. And we'll get into it.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You want the truth?
Yes.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, you know, well, we all know what's going on. And I feel we're 2 seconds in and I'm already starting with, you know how hard it is when you're the clown and you're not feeling it?
Yeah.
And I was like, should we even talk about it? And I thought, why not?
Yeah.
Why not lean into it? It doesn't mean we have to bring the whole party down, but
let's lean into it. I think it's good. I think it's good.
I just think people need to know that sometimes even the clowns get sad. I mean, I think everyone's aware of that.
Especially the clown, honey. Especially the clown.
I know. It's true. And we get scared. And I just tweeted the other day. I'm like, I am a grown-ass man, but every once in a while, I just need somebody to tell me that everything's going to be all right.
Right.
And I'm so blessed. You know, I'm in this gorgeous house and thank God we're in LA. You know, the sun is out and the sky is blue and we have our babies. And I always focus on the positive and count my blessings. But, you know, sometimes it's just nothing makes, you know, it's not logical. Let's just put it that way.
I know. And it's scary. Like, it's really scary. And I think for, because I feel like I have PTSD from growing up in the 80s and the second wave of the Cold War with all of the nuclear war movies like The Day After and A Testament with Jane Alexander.
Have you ever seen Miracle Mile?
No, what's that?
Oh my God, Margaret. Miracle Mile is obviously takes place at like Park La Brea and La Brea Tar Pits. It's that just that section. And I think it's Johnny's coffee shop.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah. That's on Miracle Mile.
Never been open. Just always available for filming.
Filming.
Well, the people making Miracle Mile took advantage of that and filmed something there. It's Mayor Winningham, and I always forget the guy's name, Andrew something. And anyway, they dropped the bomb on L.A., and it is so good. It's sort of like After Hours meets the day after or whatever
that yeah.
was. So you've got to see it. You'll love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's like that kind of a movie, like that kind of like after the World War and...
Well, it's all building up to it. Like somebody mm-hmm. overhears a conversation and, you know, in the coffee shop and then... Anyway, so then, you know, all this stuff is going down and the guy fell in love with some girl and he's trying to get her and, you know, to let her know. And it all leads up to like they're getting in a helicopter, you know, on top of a building in L.A. I love it because I love really sort of fatalistic movies and it doesn't have a happy ending.
So yes.
I hate to ruin it. It's definitely worth watching.
Well, that's good. I'll watch that because I do feel like it is kind of like being in a end of the world landscape. Like it feels like we're in a Twilight Zone episode and I'm Burgess Meredith and I've broken my glasses.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's that kind of hopelessness and it's black and white.
You know what's so funny? I never understood the true horror of that episode. Until mm-hmm. I started wearing reading glasses and I literally, no, and it really hits you when you honestly cannot even read something like this.
Right.
I can't even make this out. I am worthless without
yes.
these glasses.
Yes.
And
yeah.
people just listening at home, I just put reading glasses on to drive home the point. That's the kind of prop comic I am. Carrot bottom. I am Carrot I'd like to play
how,
this,
what?
This is me in a bad mood, by the way, so I'm doing pretty good.
Do you need a 2-time or a 3-time reading? How magnified do your glasses need to be?
You know,
I'm more of a 2-time, but I will actually not use them sometimes, and my eyesight have gotten stronger if I don't use them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I've actually like made myself not use them and I forced myself to read something and it's oddly my vision gets a little bit stronger.
I mean, I'll try it, but I'll
try
it
a little bit.
It's really at this point where I just look and it's like I really have no idea what even language this is in. So I think I wear like a 2.50 or 2.7. I don't know. It's like I always go to the... I buy mine at the 99-cent store. I buy 10 pair and put them everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think I buy mine like at Rite Aid or something, and it's like 2-time, 3-time. But yeah, you know, I think that it's... I'm just trying to be optimistic and think like, well, I don't know. I've always been also kind of cheap, so I guess I saved my money for a reason. I do miss working, though. I miss doing shows. I really like doing shows. I also realized that, like, I forgot. And I complain so much about my work and life, but I really yeah. love working.
Yeah,
I forgot that, too.
You know what I've discovered? I'm a fucking people person.
Me too, yeah.
I love people. I mean, you know, like, for all my joking around, I love people. And here's when I get concerned. I get concerned when, okay, this whole thing started and I was so good. I was in a great mood and I got stuff done. And, you know, I would dress in drag and do an Instagram live show. You know, I do this show called Quarantine Cuisine and didn't plan it at all. Just, you know, the first episode I made top ramen in my kitchen. And cut up a hot dog in it, but pretended like this was the fanciest, you know, Martha Stewart meal. And, you know, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's me in drag and it's funny and it's what people wanted. And anyway, and people tipped me on Venmo and Sherry Vine and I have been doing these in quarantine videos, like a whole series. We did The Golden Girls and Mommy Dearest. And then we did Three's Company, Harry, and we just did I Love Lucy. So anyway, my point is, it made me really happy and kept me busy. And there was like some money coming in and I was just feeling really good about myself. And after doing that, I would get out of drag and just get in bed with the dogs and watch TV and feel like I actually accomplished something. And I just feel that right now, nothing is making me happy. Like doing nothing doesn't feel right. Doing a project doesn't really give me that good feeling of accomplishment. Making money doesn't really make me feel good. The only thing that made me feel good recently was I gave away money. Well, I was just on social media begging people to buy tickets to my show and tip me, and every fucking post was just me, 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 give me money, buy tickets, support me. And I just decided I have to give some money away. So I gave four people some money, and their reaction made me happy. So,
but it's nice. And then, but people would want to support you. I mean, people want to like laugh, and that's really important too. So don't, you know, take that opportunity away from people as well.
No. I'm just saying that, like, have you ever been in that place where you just, nothing makes you happy? And that really,
it's an awful thing.
Yeah. And it's not my default. It's not my true nature. So it does concern me a little.
It's a concern. I know I had to sort of do a deep dive into like figuring out like what it was that would really make me feel good. And I went and I watched the old Suspiria. The old Dario Argento Suspiria.
Dario Argento, darling.
That made me feel a lot better to see a young, fresh Jessica Harper. Just 1978 Jessica Harper made me feel really, really good. You know, some 70s horror, some any kind of 70s horror movies would help. You know, like any kind of like a 70s, like a cemetery where you were like, maybe I should watch like Audrey Rose or The Sentinel or maybe The Omen. That might help.
Oh, God, The Omen. I remember watching when I was a kid and HBO first started, they would show one movie a day on a loop just over and over and over. And I remember like when HBO first started, it was like I had nothing to do. I think it was in the summer and I was bored. And I watched The Omen so many times. It is
so
not even
good.
Funny.
It's such
good.
A good movie. I love Lee Remick is so beautiful. And so like her skin is so luminous. And like Gregory Peck is really hot. And then the little boy is like so perfectly like evil and devilish. He's like such a perfect little perfect little omen boy.
He's an imp.
He's a little imp. He's so cute. And I love them. The nanny is like, Damien, look.
She's like, it's literally the most classic thing in the world. Damien, it's all for you. Yeah, and then she hangs herself.
It's so great.
And then
so crazy.
I love that this is what gives us, comfort. It's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, you have to find what makes you feel good. So I haven't seen The Omen 3 for a long time. That's when Sam Neill, I think he's president.
I'm not a real Omen 3 type. I never stick around. The only, I love Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
Okay, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's so weird and so like African, Italian, disco, Manhattan, Cokehead, like Beelzebub, like it's all my favorite things. So, but as a general rule, I'm not a big fan of sequels.
Sequels.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I have to watch again too, which I think would give me a lot of joy, is Trilogy of Terror.
Oh,
with Karen Black.
Well, you understand, people don't realize that obviously, hence the title, Trilogy of Terror, there were three stories. But everybody only remembers the Karen Black one because, and that's the genius of Karen Black and performers like her. It was the most ludicrous thing ever. And she gave it 110% and just really nailed it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really scary.
It's so scary. I love a horror movie that's an anthology because it's always like, I don't know why that is really appealing to me. So that's Creepshow, or there's another one that's a great Peter Cushing one called Asylum, because Asylum is like a bunch of people in an asylum, but then every different room, it's like why they're there.
Right.
And then in the end, you realize the doctor is one of the patients. And it's so, I mean, I just, as a spoiler, but
spoiler alert.
But it's so good. It doesn't matter. But it's such a good one.
You know what it's like? It's when, it's like a Netflix series when they go to their maybe third season, like Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And they have to really flesh it out. So every episode, a person gets their backstory. And it just works. It's really good to just like focus here and then all of a sudden we focus there. So yeah, I love a good anthology.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so fun. So that's where I've been getting a lot of comfort, I think, in horror films, which I realize is like, that's where I can really relax. When I think that's what I've always really enjoyed about horror and I guess true crime to a certain extent is that I'm always thinking of like the worst case scenario in my life so that when I watch horror films, I can just relax because they're doing the hard work for me.
Right, right. It couldn't possibly be this bad. I am not going to end up hanging by, you know, a scarf spinning around. You know, as Dario Argento.
I know.
Spit more blood.
Oh my God. Like, and it's always orange.
Honey, the blood in Suspiria, the original Suspiria, is just so amazing.
And it's so carmine. It's orange carmine.
Yeah, it's really that Italian, like it's an Italian. I don't know what it is. It looks like nail polish. It's all glossy and the completely wrong color. You know, I was just watching something about my favorite thing now is, you know, movies. I love to watch DVD extras or, you know, the backstory and people being interviewed. So I'll watch, you know, the DVD extras of Carrie over and over and over again.
Yes.
But I was listening or watching something where they said the blood in Taxi Driver changed everything. Like they literally did something with the lighting or the film and what they used for blood, and it just was a game changer, and they almost got an X rating because it looked so much like real blood. And when you hear that, you sort of think back, like, you know, that really was, first of all, obviously a game changer of a movie. It's so scary. The end of that movie just freaks me out. It's so scary, and the music is so amazing, and I love that Bernard Ehrman, like, finished the score and then went back to his hotel room and dropped dead. I don't know.
Oh, in Carrie?
No.
In Taxi Driver?
In Taxi Driver.
I didn't know.
Pino Donaggio did Carrie.
Oh.
But he certainly borrowed a lot from Bernard Ehrman.
Oh.
Yeah, but now, the blood in Taxi Drivers...
I mean,
it's saturated. It's really that deep. It's good.
Taxi Driver is so the detail. It's so grimy and it's just such a sweaty, like, you could just smell the semen. Like when they go and like he takes Cybill Shepherd on the date, you know,
to the adult theater. Yeah.
And it just smells like. I could imagine it smells like, you know, that the Tiki Theater, you know, that one that's on like Santa Monica and Western.
Yeah, I know it. I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yeah, that movie theater, which is like an adult theater. And it's the seats are like sticky with semen and you just smell it.
Oh,
you know, that's what I could smell when I think about like going in that theater.
Paint a vulgar picture.
Yeah, but Robert De Niro is so attractive, I think, in that movie
it's kind of like what you were saying about the kid in The Omen, the kid who plays Damien. It doesn't work if they're 100% monster. It's like, no, this is cute. And at the end, again, a spoiler alert, when Gregory Peck has to kill his own son.
I know, he's such a beautiful
daggers.
I know, and he's such a beautiful boy. He's such a beautiful child. He really is a beautiful child.
Satan was beautiful. Satan was beautiful.
And you know what's weird is that you never see that part of the story is when Lucifer was God's favorite. Like, that's a whole big thing, too. Like, if Lucifer was God's favorite, you don't ever see that part of, like, that biblical thing. Like, that's the you know, why do we not see that part? Like, where's that movie?
Because there's no gray area in Christianity. It's all black and white, and it's all supposed to scare the hell out of you and make you do the right thing.
But that's a fun movie to see. It's like all of that part when Lucifer, when God were tight.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when they had fun?
Yeah. I think he had a crush on Lucifer, but
I think so.
I think part of what you're describing, and I could be wrong, I think it's not just that horror movies are a release and make you, you know, whether you consciously think, you know, oh, you know, this is such a steam valve because we're going through some major shit, but, you know, at least I'm not being sliced and diced by some, you know, masked serial killer or whatever. I also think that part of it, the things that work for me are things that give me faith in humanity. So just, you're going to think, well, this isn't that crazy. You know what gives me faith and hope in humanity are memes and people making jokes about horrible things. Yeah. It just goes to show you that, like, everyone, a lot of people, let's just say, not everyone, are really fucking funny.
Yeah.
Some of the memes are brilliant and they just are so funny and they just give me hope. They just give me hope.
Yeah.
Okay, people will always have, I mean, literally, like, you know, I could just see, you know, it's your final moment and something horrible. You're going through the windshield of a car and you just decide, I'm going to crack a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to crack the windshield and a joke.
I love that. I mean, there's really the memes have been really satisfying. And I do love how memes have they kind of like also work onto themselves, you know, like you have sort of a meme and then it's almost like a Rosetta Stone of memes. There's a language of memes that work from other memes. They reference other memes like go from here to there. And, you know, it's really interesting.
Just the smallest things, like pointing out that these people feel like, you know, certain people feel like wearing a mask is a sign of weakness and taking away their liberty and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they will walk into a Subway sandwich shop with a rocket launcher.
Right.
You know, like just, and again, that's several sentences, but if in one meme you can point out how stupid and ludicrous and hypocritical that is, thumbs up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's great. It's great. So that's when you can really show people's brilliance in a very sweet way. That's nice. It's nice to know that there's that kind of like genius out there in a very everyday, very like kind of civilian fashion.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I used to think it's a similar thing. I used to think that like fashion was just such a, I feel like we've discussed this before. So I feel like I used to think fashion was just such a scam. It was just such a ripoff and it was just a house of cards and it was all bullshit. And, you know, I'm a Santee Alley, you know, Canal Street kind of gal. I don't spend money on, well, I don't have the money and it's just not where I would put my money. But then it just hit me like, no, this is the complete opposite. Fashion is everything. Fashion is literally, and it doesn't, you know, listen, it's like the art world. There are aspects of it that are total bullshit. You know, does anybody really, you know, need to spend $5 million on some, you know, crappy painting? But anyway, my point is it's actually the complete opposite. It is the pinnacle of humanity. We're the only people who, I mean, we could walk outside wearing, you know, trash bags, burlap sacks, leaves. We could eat nuts and berries. But, you know, I've told this story before. I was working with Ross Matthews once, and he's actually told this story a lot. And we, you know, first thing in the morning, I walked into his office, and this was when he had his show, Hello Ross, on E! And I walked into his office eating a breakfast burrito. and he was talking about something, and we were talking, and all of a sudden he looked up and I was crying. I was crying. And I said, think about this breakfast burrito. And he's like, what? I said, think about it. Like, who was the first person that grew wheat and then cut it down and then separated this part from this part and then mixed it with water and put it over heat just to make the tortilla? And that's only the tortilla. We're not talking about the bacon and the cheese and the first person to figure out that you can eat an egg, and then you put it all together and I'm just eating this breakfast burrito mindlessly when so much human like ingenuity and creativity has gone into it. And that's the way I think, and that's what gives me hope, is when I see fashion and art and like cooking something that you're not just eating it to stay alive, you're eating it because it's like amazing and it makes you happy. And I don't know, does any of it make sense?
It does. It does. It's really, I mean, and the enormity of creativity, it does give you a lot of hope, and it makes you think, like, hopefully for the future of like all the things that we still have yet to discover. There's a lot to discover.
Yes, because
there's a lot to discover.
Like in the English language, there are 26 letters, but they make how many words? And you can put those words together in a way that nobody's ever done before. There are three primary colors: blue, red, and yellow. And think of like every artist has taken those three colors. It makes me emotional.
Yes.
And like created things, and they always will. And then musical notes, there's only like 8 notes. And then there's just this limitless well of possibilities. It's amazing. Yes. And I love my dogs more than anything. And I don't think
they're the best.
I don't think being human is anything to truly aspire to, because in many ways I do think they're superior, but they can't tell a joke. They can't, you know.
But they can do so many things. Yes. They can do so much.
Yes.
They can do so much. What is the one thing that I think has come out of this as nice is that all of the animal shelters have emptied out because everybody wants to be with animals, which is great. Hopefully that'll stay the same when this all, I feel like this is going to go on for a little bit though. So
I do too. One of the things that somebody sent me that made me so mad, I'm on this thread with, you know, all my best friends, Mario Diaz and like Muffy Boulding and Calpurnia Adams. And we just send each other, you know, the memes and the jokes and the beatbox and the doodly-doos. But one of them kind of early was a woman at Target or Costco with a giant shopping cart full of toilet paper that the bitch was, that the bitch was returning. Like, you know, she freaked out and bought everything and now she wanted her money back. And we were all like, you know, so I hope that's not the case with all the animals that have
No. I mean, and that's been the wonderful thing, is getting to spend all the time with the dogs. Although Lucia goes with me on the road, which is really nice. That's the one like thing. It's like the like nice thing about having just her. She gets to go with me. But I mean, it is really sweet to be able to just like stay at home with her and have that really like quiet thing. I mean, it does kind of feel like maybe a little bit of like early retirement might feel like this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll sort of think of like, okay, this is like sort of like my on Golden Pond time right now. And then I don't know, how long do you feel like this is going to last?
I don't know. And I think that's one of the hardest parts of it. It'd be one thing if somebody just said, you know, here's what you got to do and here's how long you got to do it. And it would also be one thing if everybody was doing the right thing and playing by the rules, and we didn't have a president that just blurted out, you know, in, you know, maybe you should take disinfectant into the body and, you know, take this hydrochloroquine or whatever the fuck.
Oh, that's the weirdest thing. Like, I'm taking it now. I'm just taking it now.
And I was telling a friend, I said, good, maybe, you know, something good will come out of that, wink, wink. I said, they're probably giving him a placebo. They're probably like, oh, here it is. Here's your, you know, and they're giving him a sugar pill.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like, why are you taking it now?
Yeah.
He's just taking it.
Another thing that I I think of a lot is, I mean, I know this sounds crazy. I'm a crazy person. I think about Anne Frank all the time now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not by any means saying that what we're going through is anything, but I'm like, I have to focus on the positive. And I'm like, honey, how many people in that small space, and they did what they had to do, and they stayed quiet, and they, you know, entertained themselves. They didn't have Netflix. They couldn't do this. Like, we have technology. I can walk outside. I can drive to the store. We are doing pretty good.
We're doing really good. I mean, it's like they didn't have, they didn't have anything like that. It's not like, you know, I mean, and it's not like even this even happened a few years ago where it was really, it took a long time to download a movie.
Right. I mean, you know, we can literally get, if you're craving anything, Uber Eats, Postmates, whatever, you can get it.
Yeah. In about half an hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it.
And any TV show, any movie, any song, anything you can think of, you can have at your fingertips. So in a way that sort of failed. So, so you just really need to count your blessings and focus on the positive. That's what I'm trying to do. And, you know,
or the extreme negative, like that's like, you know, hanging from a ceiling fan by your neck.
With Dario Argento screaming, spit more blood.
You know, like that kind of, I mean, whatever it is, it's really not that bad. And I think it's just like, it is what it is, and it's going to be what it is. And there's nothing that can be done. I do think that it's like, you know, just trying to figure that out. And then I also, like, I haven't been so crazy about being productive either. Like, that's another thing that people I think are mad about, is like being really, I'm going to be super productive in this time. And I'm like, I'm not, I don't care to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I totally listen. You're talking to somebody who, you know, cut me some slack is my middle name. I am so lazy and I know how to relax, but it does dawn on you that relaxing really only works when it's sort of a yin yang thing, like, oh, I just worked very hard and now I'm going to relax. But I mean, I must say that I have to let all the comments in, like, you know, we just did I Love Lucy in quarantine, me and Sherry, and Murray Hill plays Fred, and Mario
that's
plays
great.
Ricky.
That's perfect.
And Alaska plays Mrs. Trumbull. And it's really funny. It's not perfect, but we're all in, you know, filming our parts separately and putting it together. And I mean, some of the comments are just like, you're literally saving my life right now. Like, these videos that you are making me laugh. And we just, and you've got to let that in, you know?
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. It's a very, I mean, it's an important thing. And I think that it's like, that is essential work. You know, it's, people really do need to laugh. And that's something that shouldn't be discounted. So it's really, really good.
I always say it's a very noble profession. Making people laugh is a very noble profession. And then when you add to it that I'm proud and blessed to be creating a certain kind of humor that is specifically, I mean, listen, a lot of people enjoy it, but it is really for a gay audience. You know, it's for, it's for the LGBTQ community, and it's so campy, and it's all the movies they love. And so there's just something about giving my people what they need. And then in turn, it gives me what I need. Obviously.
Yeah. And then like, and giving yourself what you need, whatever that is. And like, for me, like what I think my needs, like, get very specific. So like my needs lately, like after like the horror movies, like I needed to do a Rod Steiger Film Festival. So I went into
the collector. Is he the, was he in the,
well, the pawnbroker.
Oh, the pawnbroker.
The pawnbroker is a beautiful movie. A pawnbroker is really, really great. It's like the first kind of very serious movie that they made about the impact of Nazi Germany on Jewish immigrants.
Right.
So it was like the PTSD that Jewish immigrants had after the war. So the survivors of all the things, you know, so it was in the '60s. So it's a very sort of like a heavy movie.
Right.
But he's so great in it. And it's his like range is really crazy because it's like On the Waterfront, The Pawnbroker, The Loved One, which is super crazy.
Maybe The Loved One is what I'm thinking of. I don't know. I'm thinking of a specific movie.
The Collector is the illustrated
hostage or
oh, The Collector is with Terrence Stamp. Whereas it's The Collector is the one where it's a Terrence Stamp. The Illustrated Man where he's got the tattoos, but he's got completely tattooed to the skin illustrations.
Oh, I'm
that's
so,
another one.
I'm so confused right now.
But The Loved One is the one where he's the mortuary. He's the mortuary, and it's in Glendale.
Oh.
And Paul Williams is in that one. That's the one that kind of looks like it's a mad world. That's the one with Robert Morris.
Check all these out.
It's good to do a Rod Steiger Film Festival every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see guys like that in movies very often anymore.
No.
It's good.
Now
I want to watch Carrie again too. I don't have the DVD. I have to get the I have to get the DVD with the extras with Carrie. I haven't seen any of the behind the scenes.
Just, you know, I don't want to. Well, you can go on YouTube and watch the extras. I think it's called Acting Carrie, and it's either called Writing or Shooting Carrie.
Mm.
Just, you know, interviewing everybody involved, and they just talk about, you know, all those wonderful, like, stories.
Did they talk to like Amy Irving and Betty Buckley and William Catt and John? Did they talk to John Travolta and Nancy Allen? And
I think they talked to everyone except John Travolta for some reason. I mean, maybe.
Or PJ Souls.
I think she might be in it. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's obviously Sissy talks about she didn't know. I guess Brian De Palma said, you know, when you get your period in the shower, it's like you get hit by a truck. And she was thinking to herself, what, get hit by a truck? What does that mean? And her husband was the art director on Carrie, Jack Fisk. They've been together forever. And she's like, honey, what does that mean when you get hit by a truck? And it sounds so stupid, but the way she just, and he's like, when I was a kid, I was riding my bike and I got hit by a truck. And he told the story. And she said, that is what I am picturing and thinking of during that scene when she gets her period. So I just love to, like, you know, hear the different things about, you know, just like behind the scenes of your favorite movie. But Carrie's so good.
It's so good. She's
Stop
in another movie around.
It.
It's a beautiful movie. And then she's in another movie that around that same time called Welcome to LA. Have you seen that?
Oh, does she get an abortion?
No,
that's a different one.
That one is Three Women. That's a Robert Altman movie. That's around the same time.
There's another one though where there's something else anyway.
But it's they're all around the same time.
Yeah.
But she's so beautiful. That period of time, it's just, she's like a very ethereal, but I can never see her as anything but Carrie because she's just like that perfect ethereal beauty.
I always remind people that in 1976, I mean, Carrie was a relatively low budget teen horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's easy to forget this, but for Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie to both be nominated for Oscars for a horror movie, like it was it had never happened before. And I remember Pauline Kael called Carrie the very first pop horror movie. And I personally always remind people, Carrie is not a horror movie. I mean, it's just not. It's not a horror movie because it's a psychological, you know, suspense. I just don't think it's horror.
Well, it just seems like it's horror because there's like blood, but it's not really even like, it's just pig blood, but it's not really
it's a horror movie to vegans.
I don't know what it is. It's like a drama, but it's like a psychological drama. It's like a thriller kind of, but it I don't know. It's a lot of things.
It's a
beautiful film, but I love Piper Laurie's my favorite because Eve was weak.
Yeah.
Eve was weak. She's so pretty in it. I think Piper Laurie's so pretty.
If you watch the extras or, you know, find it on YouTube, it's really worth watching. She does this thing where she goes, "When I first read it, I didn't get it. And I said to my husband, I said, I don't get it. And my husband reminded me, he said, you know, this Brian De Palma often takes a comedic approach. So I reread it and I realized it's a black comedy." So she thinks Carrie's a black comedy and was nominated for an Oscar. And my attitude is whatever works. And Brian De Palma says, he's like, "Honey, she stepped right up to that line and put her toe over it. It was so campy and over the top, but rooted in reality. And there's a fine line between what she achieved and like Mommy Dearest." And I can't fault.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, you got to go for it and be fearless. And that's why I would rather see somebody fail spectacularly, which, you know, I hate to say Mommy Dearest is so over the top, but honey, she jumped off the cliff and did it.
I love Mommy Dearest. Yeah. I think Mommy Dearest is great. I don't think of it as, campy at all. I find it totally serious.
Really?
I think of it as like very real. Yeah. I buy it so wholeheartedly. I think it's really real.
Well, I'm one of those people who doesn't believe Christina Crawford. So
I'm such a Christina truther. I'm such a flat earther. And
that's so funny. Really?
I'm not a flat earther, but I'm a Christina truther.
Well, as long as you're not an Obama birther.
No. But it's like, I really do believe Christina Crawford. I do. I don't know why.
I love Joan Crawford so much.
I do too. I think you could still love Joan Crawford and believe that she was a monster. I think in spite of being a monster, I think she probably, you know, had a lot of problems. I think she was an alcoholic. Yeah. And she had a lot of personality problems that probably reflected in, you know, her raising those kids. I mean,
yeah,
you know?
I mean, maybe it's like, you know, anyway, maybe it's like Michael Jackson. It's like, you know, I'll never know the truth. I mean, I don't know if anyone, you know, I'm just so confused and so conflicted because, you know, he's so amazing and such a magical creature. And maybe sometimes that just goes hand in hand with, you know, some bad stuff, too.
I think so. I mean, with Michael Jackson, it's hard to know because it's like it was so in full display, like so much of it with all of the children.
You mean like hiding in plain sight?
Yeah. That it was like, oh, like that there was so much. There was like just being in with all those kids all the time and then acting like a kid all the time and then we're all sort of like accepting that as being
it can go both ways.
Yeah,
you could think, oh my gosh, he's, you know, being super bold, or just like, would a person who really was a pedophile do that? Wouldn't they keep everything hidden?
Yeah.
But, you know, you hear these rumors like that, you know, in a business meeting, he didn't talk like Michael Jackson at all. He had a normal, you know, sort of baritone African-American man voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like those rumors of, you know, Dolly Parton has a buzz cut and, you know, is covered
tattoos.
In
yeah. Which is so weird. Which I want to see him.
I don't care about aliens. I don't want to know whether God really exists. I don't care what happens after we die. I want to know if Dolly Parton has a buzz cut and is covered with tattoos.
I want to know. But yeah, with Christina Crawford, I don't know. I love Joan Crawford. I think my favorite is Rain. Do you ever see Rain?
Oh my God, yes.
I love Rain.
It's so good.
She's so great.
I can't think of her character's name in that.
Sadie Hawkins?
Sadie Hawkins.
Yeah.
Something like
that. I think it actually is Sadie Hawkins.
Is it? Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. She's great.
Saint Hawkins dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. She's amazing. She's just all eyes and.
And just great. And just so charming and just so captivating. And you never was an actress that was like that. Like just made to be in movies.
Hey, have you seen Clara Bow in It? Is it It or the It?
It's
Girl?
It. Oh, it's yeah. It.
Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Yeah, I love it.
I was staying with Ryan Landry in Provincetown one summer,
yes.
You know, doing my shows. And I couldn't really, you know, go to sleep too early. And they're just sort of like normal early bird. I don't know. They're just sort of like hearty stock, you know, those New Englanders. So
yeah.
I would be up all night watching movies, but I felt nervous that I was going to wake them up. So I was watching silent movies.
Yeah.
Downstairs. And I watched It.
Mm.
Unbelievable. I mean,
I love it.
The moment you see her, you get it.
She's got it.
And
she's amazing.
Take your eyes off of her. And not one word, obviously, is spoken because it's, you know, a silent movie, but just amazing. And then I started watching, and they weren't silent, but I kind of, you know, it was sort of a. Anyway, for some reason, I started watching W.C. Fields movies.
Mm.
I mean, a comic genius. And obviously, everyone knows his name and knows his. But like, it just strikes you that there's a reason people were huge stars. And even though times change, I mean, his movies are so dark and mean and like he hates children. Like it's so good.
It's so fun.
Yeah, you think it's
so
gonna be,
fun.
You think it's gonna be all old fashioned, you know?
But no.
It's like, oh my God, these people were brilliant.
So brilliant and so captivating. And another old star like that is Louise Brooks. I always love just so stunning and really racy.
Oh yeah,
you know all the, that kind of pre-code stuff.
Pre-code,
yeah,
pre-code, honey. Pre-code led to some pre-cum. Can we say that?
That's right. Yes, you can.
What is the one that she's in? Pandora's Box.
Pandora's Box. Yes. That's the big one. Yeah, that's an amazing, beautiful movie.
Just incredible.
Pabst. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. It's a good one. It's a good one. So you can watch that. We can go back in time, you know, because we have time. There's time.
And it goes to show you that as much as things have changed, they really haven't.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nice to see the old stars, like, being overtly sexual, women being powerful and sexual and enticing, but also like just so smart and, you know, just it and thinking that like, oh, it's going to be old fashioned and either there's no sound. How can am I going to enjoy a movie that doesn't even have dialogue or sound? You know, it's in black and white, you know, like there's just so many. And it's like, you know, good entertainment is good entertainment.
Yeah. And there's so much more. There's so much to enjoy. So much.
Yeah.
And there's so much to enjoy with us. And thank you so much, Jackie.
It's over.
Where can people find you? Where can people find you and all of the things that you're doing on the internets?
Well, I first of all, I want to say I feel so much better than when we first started.
I'm glad.
I think part of it is just leaning into it and being honest. Because sometimes, as an entertainer and especially a clown, as we said, sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, these people just want an escape and I got to do my job and nobody wants to hear me complain. Nobody wants to. But sometimes it's also about speaking the truth and there's nothing wrong with letting people know we all feel that way.
Right.
But if people want to see more of me, I am Jackie Beat on all like, you know, social media platforms. You can visit my website at missjackiebeat.com.
Thank you, Jackie. It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I don't know.
to start.
Powered by Acast.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.